If you're about to start salary negotiations with your new employer, think twice before making the most aggressive salary demand possible. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back to tell you why in a moment.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption, it's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Future employees, before you play hardball in salary negotiations, listen to this. An analysis of 90 studies and over 16,000 negotiations tells us that while people who make the highest salary demands do typically walk away making more money, they often hurt themselves in other ways. If you do this, you're more likely to be fired over small mistakes, since you come with a higher price tag. Also, recipients of your ultra-aggressive offers will see you in a negative light, even if they accept it. As a word of advice, successful negotiations are a balancing act between getting what you need and conveying a reasonable, respectful attitude. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the AI-free private email alternative.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Welcome to another week. It's Monday. More things to be, more things to say. I told you so about. Which is never a thing I like to say. I like saying, you know, I was wrong. Yeah, I predicted all these horrible things were going to happen, and none of them actually happened. Boy, you guys were right when you said, she's just wrong in predicting bad things in the future. Everything's great. I wish that were the case. Well, I got to tell you this story. This one really is bugging me. I will just go ahead and read it. ICE, that's our immigration, our people keeping us safe. ICE mobile apps scan protester's face and revokes her TSA pre-check status. All right, let me give you a little bit of background on this. The pre-check status, if you are not a person who regularly flies on airplanes, is a status that you can get in the U.S. if you are a U.S. citizen with no criminal background and no security, no reason for anyone to be concerned about you as a security risk. The majority, like 99.9% of Americans, I guess, I don't know how many have been incarcerated, so I guess the majority of Americans who have not been incarcerated would be virtually everybody can get TSA pre-check. And what this is, if you've ever been to the airport, I mean, if you have it, you already know what it is. But if you don't know what it is, and you get to the airport, and there's that very long check-in line where you show the agent your driver's license and your ticket, and then you pull along your carry-on bags along with everybody else, and you just inch your way through the line, and then you put it up on the conveyor belt, you take off your shoes and your belt, you empty your pockets, take off your jacket, put it all into those gray plastic bins, and it goes through the little x-ray machine, and then they let you through. If you have, oh, and then you have to go into the nakedizer. That's what I call it, because I was protesting along with, oh, I don't know, everybody in the privacy world. We were all protesting against the introduction of the nakedizer machines after 9/11. Those are the machines that you go into and you put your hands over your head and they go scan, scan. Well, initially when those first came out, they were giving TSA agents quite a view. They were literally outlining the interior of your clothes, meaning your body. So you would see nipples, you would see testicles, you would see everything, you would see hair, I don't know. It was all there in complete and total exposure. And we objected to that because who wouldn't object to that? That's horrifying. They then came out with a model. I haven't really followed this in many, many years since we first opposed it, but then those naked, I call them the nakedizers because I've never changed my opinion about them. But then the nakedizers began blurring out, now I'm sure they're using AI to do this, but they would identify sensitive private areas, genitalia and breasts, and they originally were putting a black bar across them. And I think now they're just kind of blurring them out using probably AI. But that's the nakedizer. And if you don't want to go through a nakedizer, I'll just, as long as I'm on the topic, I'll tell you a little bit about those ridiculous things. I have never been in one. I think I went in one time because I was about to miss a really important flight. And I wish I could say that I've never, ever been in a nakedizer. But for years and years and years and years, I never went into one. What I would do is I would get a pat down. If you don't want to go in the nakedizer, you can actually request, and this is not pre-check, this is just regular passengers standing in that long line. You get up to security and you say to them when you put your bags up on the conveyor belt, I would like a pat down, or I would like pat down, please. And sometimes to make your life difficult and miserable and to punish you as much as possible, they'll leave you standing there for a long time. Sometimes there a friendly person will come over to you of your same sex and they will ask you, would you like a private room? And I always say no. And then they lead me into a little space there where everybody can see. It's the place where if you've ever had your hands checked with that little device looking for explosives and they go through your bag, secondary screening, it's that place. They have you stand there. They have you put your feet shoulder length apart, a little bit wider. And then they pat you down. They start at your head. They go through your hair, looking to see if you've hidden any weapons under a wig, for example. They go down your shoulders. They go down each arm. And they have gloves on when they're doing this, and they do this with the back of their gloves. This is because some people were getting groped, actually, by TSA agents at the early stages of this. So they use the back of their hand. They'll tell you the whole procedure, ask you again if you want a private screening room, which I've never done because that seems even creepier. I would rather have everybody see what's happening. Then they use the back of their hand. They go down they go down your back. They go down your sides, and then for women, they take each hand upside down, sort of cupping upside down, so the back of their hand, and they go along your bra line, and then they go down your stomach, again with the back of their hand, and then they go up each leg, starting at your ankle, and they work their way all the way up until they, quote, feel resistance, which would be your crotch. So I have had this happen. I've flown more times than I can count. So I've probably been patted down 40, 50 times. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I don't think it is, actually. Maybe more like 100, because I think I've flown 40 or 50 times and they do it each time. So that's the pat down that you can get instead of going into the nakedizer. So when TSA, that's the Transportation Security Agency, I think I have that right. When TSA, the federal agency that is in charge of airport security, came out with the pre-check program, I initially did not want to participate because you have to give fingerprints, and I did not want the federal government having my fingerprints. You have to provide, I think, a fingerprint and a birth certificate and a state ID, something like that. I don't remember what all I had to provide. But I signed up for TSA PreCheck. In fact, I don't even think you have to provide your birth certificate. I think you provide your ID and your date of birth and your place of birth. Anyway, years ago, probably 10 years ago, I signed up for TSA PreCheck. And the reason I did it was to avoid the crazy pat-downs. Now, when I travel with my kids, they're now grown, so I don't travel with them very often, but when I traveled with my teenage kids, they would go through, we would all go through the same security line. I wasn't going to go into my little special quick pre-check line where there is no line and you just dash on through. In that pre-check line, though, there is no nakedizer. There is no pat-down. There is a metal detector, like people would remember from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and all the way up until 9/11 happened. When I travel with my kids, though, I don't want to just, Now they're old enough to do their own thing. But at that time, I didn't want to leave them in the big everybody else security line and me over in my little special pre-check line zipping on through. So I would stand in line with them. We would go through together. And we would all request a pat-down. Now, they were kids, so kids don't have to go through the nakedizer. I don't know if they do now, but they didn't then. Kids didn't have to go through the nakedizer, so they would just walk on through the metal detector, and I would get my pat-down. So they would always be kind of impatiently waiting while Mom got her pat-down. So anyway, that is why I got TSA PreCheck. That's what TSA PreCheck is. It is a separate system. You pay money for it. You go to a special location. I know there's one, I think there's two near me here. There are special places where you go and they have special photographs, like passport photos kind of thing. And they take your fingerprints and you submit all your documentation and then you get your TSA pre-check number. And so when I register for a flight, when I'm traveling, I have a space when I'm signing up for, you know, buying my ticket to type in my TSA pre-check number. When I put that number in there, when my ticket is issued, now you know you get to the airport and you check in, nowadays through the kiosk, you punch in your flight and they print you out a boarding pass. And on your boarding pass, if you have pre-check, it will say TSA pre-check in the corner. And with that boarding pass, you get to bypass that long line and go into the short line. The short TSA pre-check line that doesn't have a nakedizer and doesn't make you take off your shoes or belt either. All right, stay tuned. I'll tell you what happened next.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business. But if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
A cloud. I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. I have swept away your sins like a cloud.
Hey, I'm back. Lots of messages coming in. So in my chat room, if you go to Catherine-Albrecht.com and you click on the chat room, the live chat, which is on daily from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, when this show is airing live, you can join us in the chat room. It's just me and a handful of friends, regular longtime listeners, and we chat in there, and you're welcome to join us. Ask any comments or make any comments, ask any questions you might have. You're also welcome to text me or even call into the show at 877-536-1360. And I will both get that as a text, or you can just call in. If you do text me, do me a favor, give me your first name or at least your initials or something. You can say, you know, like Jay in Fort Collins, for example. That's more than enough. But I don't like saying, oh, here's a text from the 713 area code. Much rather say hi to you with your name. Okay, a couple things. So I got to tell you, it is the kajillionth bright sunny day in a row, consecutive sunny day that we've had in New Hampshire. Once again, bright and sunny. If you caught my show on Friday, I was talking about the power of quantum prayer to shift you into different timelines. And this weekend, I did a little bit of research on shifting into alternative timelines and discovered to my not total surprise, but a little bit of surprise, that theory first emerged in the 1950s, that there are alternate timelines and that all possible realities exist at once and that we can flip back and forth between different ones. So it's not just me, because I was like, after Friday's show, I was like, wow, people must think I am going off the deep end. You guys know I don't use drugs, but it would certainly seem like maybe because of the depth and the weirdness of those topics. But the drug-seeming depths of weirdness of those topics is the universe itself. It is not me. And it's not the quantum physicists either. It seems to actually be the way reality works. So I'll be talking more about that because it is rocking my world and changing everything the way I think about the world. So I'll be talking about that more later. But I just wanted to acknowledge that Erica here is like, yet another sunny day right here in Michigan. She lives in Michigan and moved here. Like I did, from a sunny place to this dreary place that has been dark and miserable for years and years and years every single winter. And now suddenly every February is bright and sunny. What do you know? Retroactively. All right, let me get back to the conversation I was having about TSA PreCheck. All right, so that's what TSA PreCheck is. I know some people say, not on your life. I would never participate in a program like that. And that would have been me. Now, I've had this conversation with you guys before. There were, in the past, few purists more pure than me in terms of not participating in things like that. But what I have learned, and I'll just summarize it in a nutshell because I've talked about it before, is I have to pick my battles. And if I did not fly, if I was unwilling to get on an airplane, then my effectiveness to fight against the very thing I'm fighting against would be vastly reduced. So I do have TSA PreCheck. I, so far, have been able to avoid the nakedizer in all but that one single event, probably, I don't know how many years ago that was. It was a long time ago, but it sticks in my craw because I wanted to never have to do it. But I have to pick my battles. So I have a smartphone, and all of the downsides and the addictive nature that comes with it, I am right there alongside you guys experiencing it, and I hate it. I tried to live without it. It didn't work. So there are compromises that I have made, but none of them are actually moral compromises. This is important. I don't make moral compromises, at least not that I'm aware of. I will not use AI, for example, at all. I won't touch it. I don't open it. It is like kryptonite. It's toxic. It's like a Ouija board. I do not read my horoscope. I do not consult with psychics. There are certain things that are just off limits, and I don't do them. Those are moral things. But going through TSA PreCheck or giving the federal government my fingerprints, yeah, it's not really life or death. It's not a moral issue. It's as a libertarian or a former libertarian, it certainly rubs me the wrong way, and it is against all my principles, but it is not immoral for me to do. All right, let me go on to what I was saying before. So TSA PreCheck is a way for us frequent travelers, and I haven't been for a number of years because I was out of the loop for 7-8 years, but prior to that I flew all the time and I'm starting to travel more. So TSA PreCheck is a really helpful thing to have because I don't have to go through the nakedizer and I don't have to get a pat down. I can just cruise through the airport, and instead of it taking me double the time it took other people to get through security, it takes me half the time, less than half the time, because before I had to wait in the long line and I had to go through the pat down, and half the time they would go through all my stuff and open every one of my bags and rub their little cotton pad on every single item in my bag. And sometimes I almost felt like they were maliciously doing it as slowly as possible, because when I said, I'm going to miss my flight, they would slow down even more. So I learned to just keep my mouth shut, smile, and wait. And anyway, it was time consuming and horrible. So now I just zip into the airport, see that long line, and think, oh, you poor guys. And then I go into my pre-check line, which usually has no one in it, go straight to security, don't take off my shoes, and then next thing I know, I'm at my gate. All right, so that's pre-check. Just so you know, that's pre-check. You don't have to have a security clearance to get it. All you have to do is be an American citizen without a record. Now let me tell you the story that has me so incredibly upset. All right, now I'm going to read this again. ICE mobile app. Now, what does that mean? That means ICE. We know those guys. A mobile app means they have cell phones with an app on them. Okay. ICE mobile app scans a protester's face and revokes her TSA pre-check status. Okay. Now, you get your TSA pre-check status revoked if you, commit a felony and wind up in prison. But this is for doing constitutionally protected free speech. All right, now let me read it to you, now that you know the background of what this is. All right, in this week's air travel news, United Airlines is developing, that's not the one I want. Here's the one I want. If you live in an area where federal officers are carrying out immigration and customs enforcement raids, that's ICE, and you plan to observe, monitor, or protest those activities, it might be a good idea to wear a mask or at least keep your face partially covered up. Reports are coming in about agents from ICE using high-tech facial recognition software to identify anyone who gets in their way. Well, you don't even have to get in their way, really. I mean, you just have to be standing there, just nearby, just looking at them. You don't even have to look at them wrong. You could probably be looking at them smiling and they'll still do this. All right. The government could take retaliatory steps against them, including revoking their trusted traveler status. The website Ars Technica carried a report about a Minnesota woman who was monitoring ICE and CBP, that's Customs and Border Protection, CBP, activity in her neighborhood when her vehicle was blocked by federal officers who approached her. Now, I think this is really interesting. They blocked her vehicle. She was not blocking them, and yet they claimed that she was interfering with them. All right, the woman alleged in a federal court complaint that a Border Patrol agent approached me and addressed me by my name and informed me they had, quote, facial recognition and their body cam was recording. He told her she was impeding their work and gave her a verbal warning. But that wasn't the end of it. 3 days after the interaction, she was informed that her membership in the TSA PreCheck and Global Entry trusted traveler programs had been revoked. All right. Here's what ICE is using. It's a smartphone app called Mobile Fortify that, quote, scans faces, captures contactless fingerprints, instantly pulls back names and biographical data in response to facial recognition, basically looking at someone's face or grabbing their fingerprint. That turns, who is this guy? Lev? I don't know, some guy. Says, quote, that turns trusted traveler into chilling of speech. The Department of Homeland Security runs both the surveillance and the program, and being under investigation, quote unquote, can be enough to cause you to lose your trusted traveler TSA pre-check status, even if protesting itself cannot legally be a disqualifier. Now, once again, this is where these guys are squinting and using things that were intended for other purposes to chill free speech. Now, I talked about this last week, the administrative subpoena that was issued when that retired guy in his 60s wrote to a federal prosecutor and had a comment, literally a 3 or 4 sentence long email that I thought was polite, maybe politically not on board with what a lot of people think, but it was polite. He was just expressing his opinion. And he had an administrative subpoena issued to Google to obtain all of his email records and to obtain the record of all of his online visits and everything else he had done with Google, which presumably includes his Google Map locations and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that administrative subpoena was never designed for that purpose. And here, the fact that you can lose your TSA trusted traveler status when you are, quote, under investigation, end quote, was never intended for this. The way it was supposed to work, and the reason that's in there, is if you're being investigated for some horrible, heinous international crime or espionage or who knows what, then while that investigation is taking place, they can suspend your TSA pre-check status. Because who knows, you might be a terrorist, you might be taking a bomb on board, who knows what you're doing, but they don't trust you while they're suspending trust while the investigation takes place. What has happened here, though, is they wanted to punish someone for simply being there, for simply looking wrong at ICE. They wanted to punish them, and so they invented an investigation to carry out the revocation. There we go. So the way it's supposed to work, you're being investigated, so they revoke it temporarily. Now they want to revoke it, so hey, they say they're investigating you. It's so disturbing. All right, I'll tell you why I told you so after this.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I made you, and I will care for you. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I made you, and I will care for you.
Hey, I'm back. And he does. He cares for us. And even as that song is playing, the sun is just came out from behind a cloud. It's so pretty out. Day after day after day. And if you're just joining me and going, why are you talking about the sun so much? In a nutshell, I moved to Michigan in 2020, 2021. And was miserable every winter because between about November and I'd say probably April, it is so dark and cloudy and gloomy here because of the Great Lakes that you never see the sun. Maybe you'll see it peeking through a cloud 20 minutes here and there, maybe 4 or 5 days out of the month for months on end. It is gloomy, depressing, and miserable. And a couple of weeks ago, I, long story short, prayed that the actual climate of Michigan would change and it would become sunny. And it has been sunny ever since. So did I change the weather? No. Did I move myself in my consciousness, along with all of you guys in my timeline, onto a timeline in which Michigan has always been sunny in February? I believe I did. And it's not me doing that. That was prayer. And prayer has the power to change reality in that way. Not just me, the physicists agree with that, or at least they conjecture that it's the case, and it certainly seems to be based on my recent experiences with it. So anyway, it's sunny, it's awesome, it's great, I love it. I have a text here from Richard. Richard writes in, and this is so sweet. Richard, if you're listening, thank you for writing this because it made my day. Hi, Dr. Albrecht. I'm an old guy who listened to you on the radio while on the road in my road warrior days. Now retired, I listen to many podcasts. The thought came to me today, I wonder what happened to that lady I used to listen to about privacy. All I could remember was Start Mail. I did some digging on the web and found your name and your podcast. Amazing how this came to me just as you had resurfaced. I'm so happy to find you again. I listened to your Friday show about quantum physics and prayer, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. I've done some research recently into quantum entanglement. We have so much to learn as we approach unifying Einstein's relativity and quantum physics. I'm so happy to hear you are well and active again. Looking forward to more happy listening to your podcast. Sending prayers and praise your way, Richard. Oh my gosh, that's the kind of that's the kind of text that just makes me almost tear up. So thank you, Richard. I'm so glad you found me again. And to other listeners who may have found me for the first time or are longtime listeners going all the way back, I don't know, 15, 20 years now. It's been a long time. I'm just so glad all of you have found me again. I'm glad to be back. So let me get back to this awful story. It's a terrible story. I have here a copy of the federal complaint that this woman filed, and I want to read you what happened, and then I would like you to, I don't know, some people disagree with me and think that ICE is totally within its bounds for what it's doing. I would be very interested in getting your thoughts on this. All right. So her name is Nicole Cleland, like Cleveland, but Cleland. I, Nicole Cleland, state as follows. She filed this, what's the date? January 21st, 2026. I'm a 56-year-old resident of Richfield, Minnesota. I'm a director with Target Corporation. Around 10:45 a.m. on January 10th, I was engaged in legal observation in my community. The group I volunteer with was tracking possible ICE CPB vehicles in my neighborhood. As I was commuting, I ended up behind one of the vehicles, a white Dodge Ram, that had been identified as ICE CPB and followed into the parking lot of a local Mexican supermarket where other ICE vehicles were. Other legal observers were also in the area, and the vehicle I had been observing left the lot, and I, as well as another commuter, continued to follow as there was also concern about a local apartment building being raided. All right, now I'm gonna comment here before I go on. That doesn't sound smart. It just doesn't sound smart. It sounds legal. Right, there's a difference between what you can do legally or what you should be able to do legally. Clearly, you can't in this country, but it is legal to do this. And what is common sense and just self-preservation. These ICE guys have made it pretty clear that if you get in their way, they may even shoot and kill you. So yes, we need to be responding to this because it's not appropriate to shoot and kill people, and it's not appropriate to revoke their TSA status when they are engaged in legal behavior. But being legal and being a good idea are not the same thing. There are plenty of ways, and believe me, I am like the first person to put my hand up and go, yes, I volunteer as, not as tribute, I volunteer to protest. I'm willing to get in the line of fire, and I don't necessarily want to be in the line of gunfire, but I have been in the past, and if you look at my history, more than willing to stand up for what is right and stand up against what is wrong. But there is a time and a place and a way to do that. And I would normally think that following these ICE vehicles around might be, yeah, maybe that's a time and a way and a place. But in today's climate, that's not the way you want to go about it. That's just my opinion. You can go ahead and do it legally. And, well, you can't do it legally. It's legal, though, but not something I would recommend doing. All right, with that said, let me go on. During this time, I observed a white Dodge Ram being driven by what I believed to be federal enforcement agents. I maneuvered behind the vehicle with the intent of observing the agent's actions. Once again, this is where I'm going, probably not a good idea. If this were a horror movie, this is probably where they're meep. Music would come in, the little suspenseful, like, don't go there, don't do this. Okay. Number 5, I maintained a safe distance from the vehicle, often following with one or more other cars in between our vehicles. Number 6, after following them for a short time, the Dodge Ram stopped in front of the other commuter's vehicle. I pulled in behind at the intersection of, and then she's got the streets. The vehicles were blocking my path forward. Two other vehicles driven by federal enforcement agents were in front of the Dodge Ram. I had no option but to stop behind the other commuter's vehicle. Okay. 7, an agent exited the vehicle and approached my vehicle. I remained in my car. The agent addressed me by my name and informed me they had facial recognition and that his body cam was recording. Now, this is interesting because I just want to point out the technology here. She had been driving in her car. From what I can tell, she had not gotten out of her car. So they might have done this through her license plate. They might have done this through her windshield, but technology that is able to do facial recognition of a moving car through the windshield is actually pretty sophisticated. Now, I could go on, but I'm going to post a link to this. It's in my chat room, Catherine-Albrecht.com in the chat room. You can actually read this full argument here. She goes on to say, I drove at a safe speed. I followed applicable traffic laws at all time. I made no physical contact with the agents. I did not, at no point did I threaten them. I can discern no reason why they stopped me other than the fact that I was following them. Okay, well, that's, there you go. That is why they stopped you. Yes, that is the reason. Now, is it legal to follow them? Yes. Is it a good idea? No. No, probably not a good idea at all. And these guys have shown themselves to be trigger happy, to be aggressive, and to not really care very much about civil liberties. I mean, to be honest, what is it? One of ours, many of yours. What was it on the podium at ICE that Kristi Noem was standing on? That was a horrible. It was like, and I'll have to find that for a future show, or maybe after that. We're coming up on a break, so I'll look it up and see if I can find it. Anyway, that is this is concerning on 1,000 different levels. The implications here, I think, are we moving? Let me ask you this. Are we moving into a time in this country which our founding fathers tried to protect us from, which is a time when the ends justify the means, even if the means involve violating the Constitution and stepping on people's civil liberties? And many people in this country would say, absolutely, yes, the ends justify the means. But that mindset leads to all kinds of tyranny. It may be valid for a very, very narrow period of time. And then once they get away with it in the time when it actually is expedient to violate the rules to protect people or to stop really bad people, then you find it getting used in cases like this, where I just don't like the way you looked at me. Why are you even here? Go away. Let us do our job and don't observe, don't film, don't watch, don't look, don't be here. Disturbing. And then what comes next? Well, don't write bad things about us online. Well, that's already happening. Yeah. All right. Let me get over here. I have a lot of windows open. Ice. Okay. Yeah, there we go. There's the break. All right, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look up this awful saying that was on this podium. and just the mindset of Homeland Security right now. Meanwhile, let me know your opinion. 877-536-1360. Feel free to call or email. Text. Text. SMS. All right. I'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com. Thank you.
I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light.
All right, I found it. It will be my secret. It's as bad as I thought. All right. At a recent press conference, Homeland Security Secretary stood behind a podium that said, quote, one of ours, all of yours. All right, what does that slogan mean? I saw it and I was like, what even does that mean? What does that even mean? One of ours, all of your what, huh? And then I started looking around, and some people have attributed it to Nazi Germany, but some people have debunked that, so I'm not sure. And I'm going to probably go with the debunkers because their arguments seem pretty good. But it doesn't matter where the actual phrase came from. The sentiment was very much alive in Nazi Germany. And the sentiment is this: you kill one of our officers, we'll kill all of you guys. That's disgusting. There's no other meaning for that. There's no other meaning for that. All right, I'm going to read. I found this on Reddit. So many things on Reddit. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem stood behind this at a recent news conference. The phrase, one of ours, all of yours, was visible as Noem addressed reporters. All right, so she wanted them to see this, obviously. Several variants of this post are going around online. I'm reading Ted5298, who wrote this a month ago. The majority of them seem to attribute this supposed Nazi quotation to the, all right, now, once again, this is probably not a quotation from there, but listen to what happened at this event, to the Leidice Leidice massacre of 1942, which was committed by the German occupation authorities in the Reich Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia in response to the assassination of the deputy governor of the province, Richard Heydrich, by British-backed Czech commandos in Prague. All right, long story, but basically a guy got killed, okay? Heydrich survived the initial attack, but later succumbed to his wounds on June 4th. The unfounded suspicion that his assassins had been given shelter by the villagers of Leidice led to that village's siege and subsequent sack and destruction on June 9th, 1942. All male villagers aged 15 and up were executed by German forces, whereas female villagers and underage boys were fed into concentration camps. mainly the one at Ravensbrook. So this is where the one of ours, all of yours, supposedly comes from. You kill one of ours, we kill or capture all of yours. And that's where the history ends, because that phrase was never used by the German government, says this particular one. And then it goes on with other ones. A huge massacre took place at Kladno. Where is Kladno? I don't even know. A secret radio transmitter and a large quantity of ammunition were found there. As a result, all of the men were shot. All of the women and children were taken to concentration camps. And the village, it was quite large, about 1,000 houses, was set on fire and burned to the ground. The fire could even be seen from White Mountain. When the fire brigade arrived and tried to extinguish the blaze, the Germans opened fire on them. Okay, I'm not going to go too much further into that horrific history, but that phrase, all one of ours, all of yours, even if it was never uttered by the Nazi government, and maybe it wasn't, it means that, though. That's what it means. It means, don't touch our guys or we're going to blastinate all of you. That's not what you want your government saying to you. Your government is supposed to protect you. In fact, let me go back to some protests. I used to do all kinds of protests with signs and marching outside of places. And whenever I would schedule a protest and I would invite radio listeners to join me, and we had some with a couple hundred people, I would always, in advance of the protest, you'll find this funny, in advance of the protest, I would always call the police. And I would say, we are planning to exercise our First Amendment rights outside of X location on this street, on this date, and at this time. Could you please send out some officers to protect our First Amendment rights and make sure that everyone behaves legally? And when I would get to an event and a police officer would show up, sometimes they didn't come because I'd called them. Sometimes someone else called them and went, oh, there's a bunch of protesters out there. Go get them. And I would always walk over to the protester. Of course, I'd be wearing like a full suit and ready for TV. And I would walk over to, I would walk over to the police and I would say, I am so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. Please protect our First Amendment rights to be here. And so they would always be taken off guard because, of course, that's not why they were there. They had shown up to make sure we weren't some rabble-rousing hooligans creating mayhem and criminal behavior. But that always shifted their mindset. I could actually watch their brains going, wait, 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 what? And then I could see them going, oh, yeah, that's right. And I would always say, this is our group. I'm Catherine Albrecht. Here's my card. If anyone in our group is in any way out of line, you come straight to me and I will remove that person. But, you know, I just want you to know, I want this to be done correctly and the buck stops with me. I'm right here. So just so glad we met each other. And then I would shake their hand and we never had a problem with any protest ever, never. So imagine moving from that world in which I wanted the police there because the criminal behavior would be the people who would stop us from exercising our legal First Amendment rights. And the police, if they were doing their jobs, would protect us against criminals trying to prevent us from doing something that was constitutionally protected. So now I would not do that. Believe me, I would not be at an event where federal government agents or Border Patrol or ICE agents were there and go over and introduce myself to them. I absolutely would not do that. And again, discretion is the better part of valor. You not only pick your battles. This is probably, for some people, this is a battle. I mean, if this was my battle, I would certainly pick this battle. But I have other battles, so I have other things going on. But when you pick your battle, then you are strategic about how to move forward in order not to fight with people, not to battle with people, but to bring about goodness. And you think through how you need to do that. Sometimes you have to confront people. Sometimes you have to go to the press. Sometimes you have to, there's a whole lot of different strategies. But I'll tell you, one that I would not be using would be following ICE officers around in my car. I just would not be doing that. Mm-mm-mm. And especially not in today's climate. Yeah. So now let me get to the I told you so. And the whole show I've been like not getting to this yet, but I have 3 minutes. The I told you so comes from radio shows that I used to do back when the U.S. was occupying Iraq. And there were some technologies being used by soldiers on the ground in Iraq when they were the occupying force there. And those technologies at that time were not phone apps. They didn't yet have those. They were devices that they could stop anyone on the street they wanted, any Iraqi citizen whatsoever, anybody walking down the street, they could stop them at will and require that person to do an iris scan. They would require that person to look into their little device. It was like a little VR, you know, headset kind of thing. And when they looked into it, they would combine that iris information with their ID, and then they would have, and they would obviously require them to fork over their ID too, and they would put them together, link them in, and put them in their database. And at the time, I said, no good will come of this, because what is happening is the U.S. government is testing out domestic control technologies on foreign captive populations, really. The things they are testing out in Iraq today, years and years ago, are the very things we will see on American streets in the future, mark my words. Now, it has happened. And in fact, it's far worse, because they did not require this woman to Cleland. They did not require her to look into a device. All they had to do was point their darn phone at her, probably from across the street, and they were able to do the exact same thing they were doing to Iraqis on the street when we were occupying Iraq. So these technologies have been, these technologies, I told you so, right? I hate to say it, I told you so. All right, let me see if I can get to my text window, because we got another text coming in. It'll take me a minute. There we go. Hi, Dr. A. Can you comment on WABN, the Wide Area Body Network? Is it really possible for our cell phones to harvest human electricity, transmit it to cell towers, and then to the power grid? Thanks, WK in Colorado. The answer to that is I have no idea, but boy, am I going to be looking into that. That's very concerning. So much to say about what our phones can do and cannot do. I think they're doing many things that we are not being informed of. But that I told you so. If it is possible to do, and if they are doing it in one place, it will make its way back to us. Yeah. All right. TSA PreCheck. Gosh, I don't know. How long is it until I lose my TSA PreCheck status just for being on the air, just for being a thoughtful person making comments about stuff, especially AI. All right. So good to be with you. So glad you found me. So glad you're here. All right. I will see you guys tomorrow. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.